guy I'm about to talk to, always been a big fan of his. Great pleasure to speak to him finally. For several reasons we're speaking to him this evening. One of them is the fact that you brought out the book called The Code. And it's all about the power of I will. I'm going to find out what he means by that. Sean Thompson is on the show tonight. Now, Sean, by the way, has been listed as one of the 25 most influential surfers of the century.
Wow.
And as one of the 10 greatest surfers of all time. Sure. Now, during his career, he was both the youngest and the oldest surfer to win a pro event and is considered to be one of the architects of professional surfing. You know the brand Instinct?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's his brand.
Wow.
From the 80s. Hello, Sean Thompson.
Hi there. It's great to chat.
Yes.
I feel like I'm connected to my homeland again.
Wow. Listen, just so everyone can know, you're joining us from Santa Barbara. Hey.
Yeah, I live in a place called Montecito. You know, we were very badly hit by first fires, and then we had a terrible mudslide.
Mm.
We lost about 23 people. It was it was terrifying. All one block away from my house. So yes. It was a scary time. The community is still devastated here. I mean, homes are in ruins. Like 12% of the homes were destroyed or damaged in our little community. We've got 3,000 homes. Yeah, it was terrible.
Holy heavens. But you guys missed the worst of it.
Well, we were lucky. We were about one block away. We were about 100 meters away. It was terrifying. We had these big fires that took away all the topsoil from the mountains, and then we had about half an inch of rain in 5 minutes. So it just took these big boulders and mud down the road and just like swept $10 million homes away like they were nothing. I mean, a friend of mine, another South African guy, a guy called Johnny G, who invented spinning, his home's around the corner from us, beautiful home. It's just a hole in the ground, not even a concrete slab. It was terrible.
Heaven's sake. Listen, but we've had a disaster year too called Jacob Zuma.
Yeah, I know. We believe he's on the way out there. I believe the mudslide's like taking him away today.
We're hoping so, Sean. We're hoping so. Listen, just for interest's sake, because we were talking earlier this afternoon how we all had posters of Sean Thompson at some point surfing North Shore. Now, just so I can feel, not as young as I used to be. How old are you now?
I'm 62, but I feel like I'm 22.
You sound like you're 22.
Is there something wrong with that?
No! Just see.
What's your secret?
Yeah, what is the secret, Sean Thompson?
No, you've got to stay immature.
Okay.
Nice.
We're on the right track.
Listen, just to set us off our chat tonight, and I know someone spoke to you about it, and I thought the way that you put it, and the way you explained it was so eloquent. They asked you about that surfing these days. A lot of people are talking about mindfulness, about meditation, and about being in the moment and letting your mind wander free while you're breathing rhythmically. And you said, as surfers, we're the absolute experts of this process of being mindful. Explain that to us and why you said that.
So back in the 70s, I started exploring tube rides at a place called the Bay of Plenty in Durban, right across from where I grew up. And when you're riding inside the tube, when you're surfing at your absolute optimum level, they call it being in a state of flow. And this is a state of optimal performance that artists, that creative people, and just people who may be experiencing this moment at work when everything is meshing together perfectly, when mind, body, and soul are all connected. It's this sort of existential moment in life when life has the greatest meaning and the greatest purpose. So as surfers, and when I was riding inside the tube, it felt like time was expanded when time was actually slowed down. When I was surfing at my very best, I felt that I could actually control that wave. So that's that moment of extreme experience, and that's the moment that we all sort of strive for in life. And funny that you asked that. I was at a conference at this big graduate university last week, and I met the guy. His name's Mihai Csikszentmihalyi, who did the study of flow, and we sat together and we chatted. And his university is actually doing a study of my code method that I use for businesses and for students to help them reach optimum performance in their lives. So it's so interesting how surfing can take you to these special places that academics are sort of using science to try to understand. And surfing took me there 40 years ago.
Mm. Now, talk about what surfing teaches you. And I love that as well, that central message of you get punished, you paddle back, you catch another ride. Eh?
Yeah, surfing really teaches you about resilience and perseverance, because no matter how good you are, you're going to cop an absolute beating out there at some time or the other, whether it's at Jeffreys Bay or Waimea Bay in Hawaii or at the Banzai Pipeline. So it does teach you about resilience and perseverance, and it also teaches you about humility, that no matter how good you are, the ocean is bigger and better than you. And you know, just in the way that you approach other people, you have to be respectful, empathetic, and as an athlete who I was lucky enough to enjoy great success, I always felt that, you know, humility and respect for others and respect for the ocean is very important.
Yes. Now, sure. When you really fell in love with surfing was actually in Hawaii, and you were like 14 years old, and your dad sponsored this trip, and there was that moment when you said to yourself, like, this is my thing. Just tell us about that.
Well, I first fell in love with it when I was about 9 years old at a place called the Bay of Plenty in Durban. I caught my first wave there in front of my dad. He just bought me a little, we used to call them belly boards, but we used to stand up on them. And that first moment of standing up and just seeing the world differently, feeling that exhilarating moment of speed and control, I mean, that really gripped me. And then when I went to Hawaii, my dad took me there for my bar mitzvah present when I was 14 years old. And I started riding the big waves over there. And I knew that for me, that was the path, that was the direction that I wanted to go. And in those days, there was no such thing as pro surfing. But I knew I just wanted to be the best, and I wanted to take it wherever it could take me. And you know, put my head down and practice as hard as I could. But more than that, I mean, I just loved it. I was stoked. I was like the super stoked guy. A guy asked me a few years ago at a big conference, like, what made you better, or what made you a world champion? I said, because I loved it more. I loved it more than anyone else. I surfed more than anyone else throughout my career. So it wasn't like, yes, I practiced, and you know that traditional thing, the more you practice, the better you get. I just loved it more.
Now, you're a very busy man. Do you still find time to surf?
Oh, I still love to get out there. I still ride very cutting-edge boards. My boards are about the same height as I am. You know, boards never went metric. It's like my board's 6'1", I'm 6'1", and I've been riding that same size for, I don't know, 20, 30 years now. So my boards are still cutting edge, and I love to still get out there, mix it up with the young guys. It's great fun.
You know what? Growing up, to me, surfing was magical. It was like a certain class of guys that got to do this. And it was never me. But to me, these days, you know, and I still go to the beach often.
Sorry, that's my dog, Buddy.
Ah,
it's my dog barking in the background there.
What kind of dog do you have?
It's a little, we picked him up at a shelter. He's like a mixture between a little Maltese and a Labrador, I think. I mean, he's a wacky mixture, but he's a cool dog.
Sounds like a little yapper. Like a, as we say in Afrikaans, a stoep skaterkie, né, Sean?
Yeah, he's a yapper.
I lost my train of thought. Listen, we're going to take a quick break.